Want to have your own business but don't want to start from scratch? Franchising might be the answer you're looking for. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show, the show that brings you thought leaders in business, franchising, and high-performance personal development. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Own a business without the pain and financial losses that come with creating it. Find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Learn how franchising can help you get there. Listen up and get ready for another episode of The Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to The Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in business, franchising, and high performance personal development. Today's guest most certainly goes without exception. Today is another special episode of The People at Lime. Today's guest started at an entry-level position at Lime Painting and has soared into franchise ownership. I'm excited to share his story, his successes, his learnings with the world. The owner of Southwest Florida, Jim Ward. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nick. Pleasure to be here. Honored. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on.
Yeah.
So you're super busy. My goodness. As I mentioned, right, you're a new owner, multi-unit owner in Southwest Florida. That is incredible. About 8 months in, right?
Yep.
But Jim, how did you stumble into this position? How did you find Lime? Why Lime?
I think that's a great segue with the stumble because, well, I guess I have to go back a little bit to a little bit of my background. For one thing, I've always been in sales. I've always just liked people. And I think it comes from a genuine place. So people generally like me too, which is a plus. In fact, I don't like not being liked, but that's a story for another time. I was started out of college with Northwestern Mutual. I did an internship with Northwestern Mutual, and I kind of fell in love with that early on, like helping people, serving people in a really meaningful way with life insurance, disability, long-term care insurance, and retirement planning. I mean, some of the most important things in life events right there. So I just found that to be really helpful and meaningful to people in that role. I was there for 6 years. I became vested in my renewals, and I was young when I started with that. So I was kind of always questioning, like, is this really what I'm going to do for the rest of my life? Is this it? And eventually the answer became clear, no, it's not. But then what next? And after I was vested in my renewals, I left and started to explore other career opportunities. I had friends telling me, because I was single, not married, no kids, I was 26 or 27, they're like, you should go do Deadliest Catch, whatever, like go be a cowboy in the West. You could go do anything. They were all trying to live vicariously through me. And I had a good friend that I played rugby with in college. He was a sales director at a company called Vivint Smart Home. And he'd been working on me for years to come over. I actually brought him on as an intern when we were in college together. And then he left and had a lot of success with Vivint, still does. And it was attractive to me. It was like, you work 5.5 months out of the year, you travel for 7.5 months. I'm like, that sounds awesome. Let's do that. So I went and joined Vivint. It was good. You know, I got to travel the country a little bit in the off season. Went to Colombia, went to Mexico. You know, I did a lot of the things. I drove across the country multiple times. I did a lot of the things, kind of got that hair for travel out of the way, you know. But in the process of doing that, I realized that that wasn't for me. You know, there was serving the customers always really important for me. And no knocks on Vivint. That's a great company. It just wasn't the same as Northwestern Mutual. You know, they go out of their way to, Northwestern would go out of their way to pay claims and help people in a crisis, basically, and to always do the right thing. And I didn't find as much of that at that next stop. So I left and, you know, I just did some meditation. I went and sat on the beach in Fort Myers and like journaled, and I did almost a month of that. Like every day I would make it a point to journal and write. What do I want next? What's coming next look like? And some of the things that I wrote down, I still have that notebook somewhere, but some of the things I wrote down was integrity, looking for a company with integrity. I'm good with people. I want to be in sales, account management, uncapped earning potential. And then a big theme that I coming back to was entrepreneurship, owning my own business. You know, when I went to college, that was my plan, was to be an entrepreneur. And then, you know, to some extent that was the case with Northwestern Mutual. You know, I ran my own practice and things like that, but it was kind of intrapreneur. I think that's good for me anyway, having some structure. But anyway, so I come back to Denver, left Florida, moved to Denver permanently. So my wife, I'd met her the previous year. We did a long distance relationship, weren't married yet, but obviously had something special there. So I wanted to come back to Denver and I didn't have a plan. So I just started looking at jobs and careers and applying for things. And fortunately, one of the places that I thought was a good fit was selling implements and renting implements. I did a terrible interview. So it was like God's intervention of just like, that's not for you, even though all the criteria were there. So I find Lime. I was immediately attracted by the values, you know, love, integrity, mission, excellence. And that's kind of pivotal to me, like the way that we serve the customer. I say we now, obviously I'm fully in it. But that's what I was looking for. And then, of course, we did our interview, Nick, and I was surprised that it was Nick Lopez who was interviewing me because I'd read on the website about Nick Lopez, and it was a beautifully done website. I mean, I would have thought multinational company, you know, and I'm like, why are you doing the interview, Nick? And Nick told me, you know, I just like to know who's on my team. And sure enough, we, for, I don't know, an hour and a half long phone call, we probably talked about values and our more or less higher power, you know, like those types of interventions in our life, rather than anything to do with painting or work or the structure of the job or anything like that. And had some really deep commonalities, you know, of deciding not to imbibe in alcohol anymore. It wasn't a good fit for me, and for you, it was becoming too much of a distraction from who I really was. And I'm like, this has got to be, you know, a God intervention type of thing here. Then the next interview, we actually started talking about the role. And when I left Vivint, I had said, I'm never going to canvas again. I'm never going to knock another door again. And then I'm like, oh, shoot, this is canvassing. We got to go canvas. So we started talking about the pitch and what it's like and how we serve our customers. And it's very much not pushy. You know, it's just we're serving it up and putting it in people's lap. And if they want to do it, then great. If not, no problem. We'll be here. And then I talked to a couple mentors of mine and they're like, listen, just give it a go. You know, like there's some things here that are kind of looking good. It doesn't have to be your forever career. You know, just give it your best effort, put your best foot forward. And see what happens, you know? So I took their advice and gave it an honest go. And I really got in, you know, I just started doing we call it the Lime Elite Academy, really got into that, made sure that I knew exactly like the door pitch, you know, knew the, what we call re-spin, which is our consultative sales process with the client, and then got into it. So my first day was March 4th was technically my first day, but my first day in the field was March 7th. And we went out, Nick and I went canvassing, got some leads, got some good leads. And actually the first door that we knocked on, funny story, became a customer the next year. And they were very standoffish at first, but now they love us. They recommended us to a lot of people. We did a great job for them. But yeah, I think I'm running into some of the other questions right now. So maybe I'll pause right there. That's definitely how I came to be at Lime, was attracted by the values. I could go on about that for a while.
Right. Absolutely. But you were in a position where, you know, you were serious about making a long-term career change. You know, you went to the beach there in Southwest Florida and Fort Myers, and you know, got serious about thinking about what's next for me. And it wasn't like you were just starting your career. I mean, my goodness, you really had some time to invest with companies and figure it out and understand what's right for me and what do I enjoy, and enough to get serious about, all right, I need to start thinking about my career. And that's a pretty exciting time, right? To get into a position where you're thinking about long-term trajectory. Frankly, that's not necessarily common these days, but anybody that's successful understands that, you know, you need to catch momentum, you need to get into a space and a company and really level up in terms of your skill set and the value that you bring. That's been one thing that I have most certainly enjoyed watching in your career with Lime, Jim, is that you figured out how to give value and level up within the company. So, you know, share what have been those roles that you fulfilled throughout your time at Lime.
Yeah, so true. So true. There has been a lot of personal and professional development since I came to Lime. And you're absolutely right. And I knew this about myself, is that I'm extremely loyal. So I knew that I wanted to make the right choice because, you know, I fully get into it. You know, like I give it a good year, no matter what, you know, is going on. I just want to make sure that I did my best, that I put my best foot forward. So yeah, I did that, you know, started as visual reality consultant, which is our entry-level sales position, account manager. And yeah, I had success early on. So it was March 7th, 2020 was that first day we went into the field. A couple weeks later, I was coming back from getting 10 leads, my first day of double-digit leads. And guy comes on the radio, says, you can't leave your house tomorrow because we were in COVID lockdown. And what are we going to do? What are we going to do? So just got scrappy. We got resourceful. I started calling realtors and would make 30 phone calls a day before I would do anything. You know, 9 to 11, I would just make sure that I was making phone calls to good realtors in town and trying to build relationships and connect with those folks. Anyway, long story short, even with all that, I still ended up selling $500,000 my first 6 months. Never got traction like that in another company. You know, lots of coaching from you, Nick. And accountability too, which was great for me. So got a lot of traction there. And then that year, we really started expanding, doing a lot of franchise nationally. When I started with Lime, there was, I think it was seven total people at Lime, five territories. By the following year, at that same time, we were in the 50s for locations. We were at almost 100 people. So it was almost overnight, the expansion and growth. So right place, right time, but I was kind of ready for a big career move. And that next position was national success coach. So traveled around, got the opportunity to take that promotion, traveled around the country, helped set up the first 38 locations as we launched that next year in 2021, as we launched those locations. A lot of those folks had a lot of success, which was great to see. I've always enjoyed that in sales management and sales training, is teaching people to be successful and watching the lights come on and doing some coaching and going out demonstrating, and then they can do it for themselves. So that's always been very rewarding for me in sales management. So I've enjoyed that, just seeing all the lives that have been impacted by us and coaching. So national success coach, so did that for a year and a half. So that was everything from running the classes, like training, the boot camps, and then going out in the field. Spent 113 nights in hotels in 2021, just launching those territories. Found out what hotels are great, what hotels are not. I definitely have my preferences now. And just really got to know the owners and the people at Lime, all the salespeople, all the faces. A lot of the customers, I still remember the customers' names from these field visits. I was thinking about the first guy that said yes to Michael Hanley in St. Louis. His name was Jim, so I can't forget it. And Hanley did a great job serving that guy, and he became such a strong advocate for Lime. and what we do and how we serve our clients and really take our time to make the house better, to like fix the core problems, just all the things and the people. So I think I'm kind of meandering from the point now. And then became, did a brief stint at vice president of ops, vice president of operations. And I've heard before in business that you get promoted to your highest level of competency. So for me, realized very quickly that vice president of operations, not being a field-facing role, was not necessarily going to be the ticket. So developing programs and really eye on the fine details of just various aspects was not going to be an enjoyable role for me. I stuck it out for as long as I could until we could find somebody to better fill that role. And then 4 or 5 months later, transitioned to actually national director of sales, which was a much better role, which was more field facing, out with the people, teaching again, back out into the field, teaching the franchise owners, the people in the field, and then also sales manager for Denver at the same time, and able to go serve the clients of Denver, make sure that those jobs were going well and that we were doing what we say we do because that's what we do. So that's my forte right there, is being with the people. I just enjoy my customers, our customers, and I want to make sure that they're getting exactly what we do, which is high-end products, high-end painting and coatings, surface restoration, and all the other services that we do, whether it's gutters or masonry or anything like that. We want to make sure that we're delivering happiness, basically. It's what we do.
Right. And so you eventually from there became a franchise owner, multi-unit franchise owner, Southwest Florida, which has been your end pit stop so far. But clearly you can see a lot of qualifications there to serve customers as a franchise owner, as an entrepreneur. So Luke, he's somebody that you've had the opportunity to mentor, right? And not only have you taken on these roles, but you've coached up Luke specifically, was most recently our success coach and also newest Florida owner just north of you there in Tampa. So, you know, you mentioned, hey, you know, I really enjoy being out with the people, and you've done that from a leadership standpoint internally. You've done that franchise owner facing, and obviously you've done it consumer facing, serving customers, providing the unique services that we help clients on their properties. Many times, customers don't understand just how much need is actually on their estate. And these are expensive assets. They turn over, they deteriorate. So having the expertise to consult somebody and deliver on it, transform and improve that asset, just such important work, right? And speaking to the people at Lime, clearly you've been somebody that has helped our national objective of really standardizing what does it mean to receive a luxury painting experience. Lime Painting is defining that space. And you look at the people at Lime, you've been somebody that has started on the ground level and has served folks client facing and internally throughout the way. Luke being somebody that is instrumental at Lime, much like yourself, you turned around and put a hand back and helped him also level up throughout his career. That's something that has been impressive about you, Jim. Clearly, you spoke to kind of the why and the reason behind joining Lime and how it became a good fit and career-wise, how you leveled up. But just from an outsider perspective, me watching your journey, as you mentioned, you love people and that's been lived out. So thank you for that, Jim. You know, why do you think you have been so successful at Lime?
Yeah, good question. It is, it's a multi-part answer. So for one thing, I kind of burn all my boats, right? I'm not looking out to like other positions or like what's next. I'm looking for how can I improve my current situation. I know that's a little contradictory to what I said about the beginning of my career, where I had a mentor saying, you know, it doesn't have to be forever. Just give it your best go. I wasn't actually looking anywhere else. I was just more or less just looking for an excuse to plunge in, just double checking that I was making all the right moves. But it has proved to be that way, like all the values. So I think a big part of it is we have such a family kind of bond and unit at Lime where it's like, I'm almost working in a way for others. So when I'm in my best headspace and spiritually fit, I'm really thinking about how I can serve the people, like my coworkers, more or less at Lime. So I really think about the guys a lot. And when I say the guys, I mean our artisans, the painters. I think about each customer that I work with and demonstrate our value. I'm also going to be bringing a fantastic artisan to that job site. And they have a family as well. And they have multiple people on their crew. And they have families as well. So even if I get into a sales slump or whatever you want to call it, that's been my best like slump buster, is just thinking about these guys need to work. We need to make sure that they're staying busy, that we have good jobs for them. We kind of promised that we would. We've never let them down yet. I'm not going to be the guy to let them down. So when I'm in my best places, I'm thinking about the other people that I'm serving and working with. Of course, the customers. But a lot of it has been some really good coaching. We've had, Nick and I have had some very candid conversations, especially early on, getting all that success early on and having a big sales number. That proceeding 3 months after hitting 500,000 in 6 months, I was starting to coast a little bit. And through some candid conversations with Nick, it's like, what are you doing? You have this great opportunity to finish out the year as strong or stronger than anybody, but what are you doing? You got to come back to the basics here and restructure and focus on what's important. And so just little conversations like that along the way. And so many of the other positions have been uncharted for me, national success coach and designing a lot of the curriculum and things like that for new franchise owners. So it's really been a very collaborative experience with Nick. And just working through it, what works, what doesn't. And we have the ability to just be very candid with each other. So sometimes the other may not like what the other has to say, but we all do it for the greater good, for the people that we're serving. And we never want to make a mistake in that aspect of like, we always want to put our best foot forward, right? Anyway, so a lot of the success, obviously good structure, good coaching. Like I never got my first four estimates that I went and gave on my own, they all booked. So that helps. So great sales training. That's definitely our forte with Lime and just customer relations. Like we just teach our customers and it's up to them if they do it. We're not pushy at all, which is a breath of fresh air, I think, for me as a salesperson and for customers, I'm sure. Got a lot of great feedback from customers about that process. Not to mention just executing on great jobs. Yeah, there's a structure there. Obviously an intrinsic want and desire to do the best that I can. And then also some great coaching and mentorship and leadership along the way from you, Nick. And then we also have Ernesto Godinez, who taught me basically everything I know about painting. So he was our best painter year two of Lime. Year three, he came on to be the production coordinator and manage all the crews. And he's just so patient. And I could call him 15 times a day about just various questions regarding paint and preparation. And he would just coach me and walk me through it. I would say probably by the 10th call of the day, he'd start ignoring the call. And then if I sent him four or five text messages, he would call me back. But just great people, right? The people have been the best. It's like the crews, the coworkers, the mentors, the leaders, the mentees. For me, that's been the best part of life is the people.
We always say, you know, we work in beautiful places for beautiful people with beautiful people, and it's a way of life, but there's a lot of truth to that. And as you were talking, Jim, I was thinking about the fact that, hey, your willingness to level up, you're willing to level up throughout your career, but you didn't ask or expect that, but you outgrew and outperformed your current role. And having that willingness to grow with the company allowed you to, as you mentioned, timing, right? It seemed like overnight we went from 7 to over 50 locations nationally, and you really benefited from that timing, but earned it through your diligence and experience and willingness to serve those around you, serve your customers, and serve your teammates. So, you know, turning the page here, Jim, you know, you eventually get to a point where, as I've mentioned, you became and you are a multi-unit franchise owner in Southwest Florida. What led you to choosing entrepreneurship and doing it the time you were building your career in our corporate location, our headquarters in Denver? What led you to move out of state and become an entrepreneur in Florida?
Yeah. Well, like I mentioned before, I always wanted to be an entrepreneur, and outside sales to a lot of extent scratched that itch, but I was still working for somebody else. In this case, I was working for you, Nick, which has been great. But at the same time, I wanted to work for myself. I wanted to be accountable to essentially only me, which is a little scary thought. Just go out and do it and that's it. Like, either I do or I don't. And I wanted to be a franchise owner from the start. I feel like a lot of the salespeople, VRCs who come into Lyme, they all say the same thing. I want to be a franchise owner. I want to be a multi-unit franchise owner. And to some extent, and largely the ones who do have success, they ultimately do that, which is kind of a testament to just how we train and coach and teach. And it's like a next man up kind of mentality to some extent. A lot of the great franchise owners started in sales roles, which is awesome to see that there's clearly a path to entrepreneurship and success. But it was really just, it became even more important over the years for me to become a franchise owner. And some of that came from just teaching it and seeing how it was done and watching other people who I taught basically how to do it. And at some point I was like, I'm literally teaching everybody how to do this. Why am I not doing it for myself? It makes no sense. And then the other thing was that kind of family related. So I have a 2.5-year-old son. My mom and dad are down here in Southwest Florida. I have an uncle and a cousin here. My wife's parents moved with us to Southwest Florida. They live like 3 miles from us. So just wanted to be close to family. I went to college here, Fort Myers, and I love Southwest Florida. I mean, there's a lot to love. I mean, it's beaches, it's ocean. It's kind of got the Midwest vibe of my roots a little bit from Minnesota, where it's like a little more low key, you know, some good hardworking people here. I really felt like that was the right time and the next step. And it's never a perfect time. Nick mentioned there, I was making more than I'd ever made before in my life. I mean, all 3 years at Lyme, I made more than I had ever made all of my previous years in any career. And it just kept going up, and it would have kept going up for no doubt. So in a way, you know, taking a step back as a first year business owner, we're doing great down here, but still it's not going to be quite the same. So I definitely took a little sacrifice there. And ultimately it just came back to that whole family thing. I wanted to have more time. I wanted to be able to structure a business, build out a business of great people. I don't know who those people are yet, who I'm going to bring on my team yet, but I know what their values are going to be. And I know they're going to be people that uphold our values as a company, what we do here in Southwest Florida with Lyme Painting. But all that to say is that my son is 2.5. By the time he's in sports or whatever he's doing, chess club, I don't know. Who knows what he's going to be doing, but I want to be involved. I don't want to be working 60 hours a week. Not that I wouldn't at times, or not that I'm not willing to, but I want to have the flexibility where if I want to put that in on a Saturday, I can. And on a Tuesday, I can go support him in soccer practice or whatever, or maybe even be a coach or a Cub Scout leader, whatever it is. I want to have that autonomy, that flexibility to be there for my family. I also like the idea of the legacy. You know, I think we're going to build something really good down here in Southwest Florida this year, my 8th month. And not that sales numbers are everything, but it's a good indicator. We're at 700,000 for the first year, 8 months in. So I can only imagine that the trajectory of that is up. And that being said, structuring out the team, much like you've done in Denver, Nick, where you have a couple of VRCs, you have a production coordinator, and you're checking in, doing some coaching and going to jobs when you want to and supporting when you want to because you like to do it. Totally different vibe than having to be there.
Totally, yeah, absolutely. Oh, 100%. And flexibility and the time that you get, the autonomy, most certainly. So why do you think you've been so successful, right? You're in a new market. You've had 8 months to experience the market. Why do you think you've been successful?
I tried not to think too much, honestly. I literally just did what I knew to do. Literally teaching it over the last couple of years is not a complicated process. Thank God for that. Because I have a certain intelligence about me, but if I have to reinvent everything, it's just not going to work because things are going to get too squirrely for me. So having a system, I literally just got into the market and I remember the first day going out canvassing, feeling like such an imposter, like knocking the first door, feeling like I had no backup, like I didn't even know who my crews were yet. Here I am selling a great job, right? Like it's going to be, love it. You know, it's going to be amazing. The house is going to look great. We're going to do all this prep, all this extended detail. And I don't even know who the people are that's doing it yet. So I really felt, and I just had to get over that. I just had to go do it. And sure enough, people were very receptive. People were so nice. And, you know, unfortunately, we had a massive hurricane here in late 2022. So there was just people just disheveled and just looking for somebody they could trust. And fortunately, I've been able to fill that role for a lot of people. And we've done so much drywall and carpentry and hanging doors and baseboards and insulation and just all the things to literally one person, one house at a time, one property at a time to rebuild Southwest Florida. You know, I kind of took that on as a mission. And it really came from a customer, actually. She was so grateful after we gave her house back, because when we started with it, there was no drywall 3 feet up. And when we were done 6 weeks later, it took a while because we kept taking things apart and then finding more mold. So we had to do more remediation. So, and they were just so great. My crew was amazing. They just kept rolling with the punches and they're like, all right, what's next? We take this shelf off, mold behind it, tear that whole wall down, tear the wall down. Trusses need to be replaced. Okay. What next? Just no problem. We just kept rolling with the punches. And she sent me this text. It was really nice. She said, thank you for your efforts. Just a pleasure working with you. And I hope you prosper as you continue to rebuild Southwest Florida one house at a time. And really hit me right there. You know, I get a little teary from that. But it was just such a good mindset, just one person, one property at a time, you know, of just restoring the community that was just totally devastated. I mean, we had a 20-foot storm surge and 20 feet of water is not good for a house. It's good for a boat, not for a house. And you should have seen these houses. I mean, my goodness, the work that we did in there. And so, you know, we just had to do it one at a time. You know, one thing comes up, fix it. Another thing comes up, fix it. You know, whatever it is, maybe something doesn't go perfect on the job, just communicate with the customer, come up with a solution. They're happy. Everybody's happy. And just one thing at a time. I try and keep it as simple as possible. You know, it's like I have three jobs going. I'm going to visit each of those jobs in the morning. I'm going to focus on new customers late morning, early afternoon. I'm going to do my admin evening, late afternoon. After my son goes to bed, I'll be working on proposals, sending estimates, you know, just one thing at a time, just doing as much as I can, basically. And, you know, we're building towards something. So I don't have anybody else in my territory helping me. I have, you know, maybe 20 artisans that I work with. And a lot of them are great. You know, I have good foremen that really help me. But I'm really looking forward to scaling next year and building out the team, having a couple account managers, VRCs, and ideally a production coordinator, and we'll just explode.
Yeah, explode because of value, right? One customer at a time and delivering happiness and creating relationships that, you know, make a difference. Yes, we're providing a very stand-up service, quality luxury paint service, but we're also serving customers and working on something very personal to them, their home, right? So I said it before, we work in beautiful places for beautiful people with beautiful people. You can see that being lived out by Jim. And I can relate to you, you know, having some feedback from clients you know, that's probably one of the best parts of being in the field is doing just that, serving and working for customers. You know, I had a customer tell me once, hey, you know, I built a $40 million moving company and, you know, we're sitting on his home, or sitting at his home on his back patio, overlooking one of the holes on the country club he lived at. And he says, you know, I grew this $40 million moving company and we had our values on our t-shirts so that everybody would know what we stood for. There was no ambiguity. And he said, Nick, you run your business very similar, but I wouldn't know it as a customer. And I'm curious if your artisans do. I mean, clearly they've done a great job and everything else, but you know, I think you'd benefit from that. And much to the client that gave you that comment, I mean, you could just go down the list of these really neat interactions that are genuine and really just give you those nudges to reaffirm what you're doing is making a difference. And he said, Nick, you should make these values. And so I did, right? Line became love, integrity, mission, excellence, and it's everywhere. And it all came from a client. But I say that, Jim, to ask you, we have our core values. Which one is your favorite and why?
Over the years, I've always said integrity. That's what drew me in the first place. You know, that's what I was looking for. That's what Northwestern Mutual had. That's what the next company I went to didn't have as much of. And I certainly knew which I preferred. So I just love the fact it's so simple. Do what you say you're going to do. And no matter what, at the end of the day, that's what we're going to do. So that integrity piece is so important. I think excellence is a great guideline. Like there's no standard below that. Mission, obviously, I love our foundation. You know, we're doing work down here to support the Boys and Girls Club of Fort Myers. I think that's a great foundation to support. But lately, I've really loved love. So I've seen, it's been a demonstration more from our franchise owners than anything. So I just see what people like Jason Gaynor in Austin, Texas, the way that he serves his clients is just something to be admired. Like just absolutely somebody that I want to emulate. And he really does, like heart on his sleeve, you know, just lead with that love value. And so many other people, I mean, I could name probably 100 people, you know, Mike Hanley in St. Louis. All the great franchise owners, that's what they all do. Corey, Mark, you know, just all of them. Tangi, they just all really demonstrate that value of love. And it doesn't just, it's not conditional love, it's unconditional. It's for the people that's on their team. It's for their customers. It's for their community. It's a really powerful value. And I try and keep that one top of mind, you know, when I'm serving my customers and clients and my crews. It's just a good lens to filter what I say through. Like, you can say what you mean, you don't have to say it mean, you know what I mean? So it's that love is a good lens to filter those words and those thoughts through.
You know, you're mentioning these fellow franchise partners, and I just kept rattling them off in my head, just kind of like, and then, you know, it really is the Lime way. And it's a differentiator. It's so hard to find a values-led organization, especially that lines up with our values in the construction space, specifically painting, where, you know, I always joke that the paint space is competing for the worst reputation in contracting. Very minimal barriers to entry. If you have a truck and a paintbrush, you're a painter. And customers, and they're exposed to that in the marketplace. And here we are really turning the industry upside down. And clearly, you've been so instrumental in teaching those franchise partners the Lime way. And now you're bringing it to Southwest Florida, where, you know, as your client put it, right, helping rebuild homes and properties and clients' lives. One project at a time. It probably, unfortunately, won't be the last hurricane that you get to participate in helping rebuild your community there, Jim. But whether you're doing it outside of a hurricane, in the middle of a hurricane, after, or you're serving through supporting organizations like the Boys and Girls Club. You know, as you just embark here and wrap up your first year, so impressed with what you've done at Lime Gym and who you've become. It's really been a neat thing to witness and play a small part of you becoming the leader that you're becoming on the career front and the home front. When you joined Lime, you were just thinking about getting engaged, and here you are now growing a family and showing your family and community, you know, what it looks like to build a legacy. Thank you for being a great example of what building a legacy through entrepreneurship looks like. You're just getting started. I'm excited to see that all-star team that you build next year and going thereafter. I'm excited to see the value that you bring through your ability to connect and serve, and doing it specifically in Fort Myers and Naples, Southwest Florida. Clearly, this is a very special individual. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, was looking forward to sharing who he is with the world. I hope you've enjoyed learning who Jim Ward is, the multi-unit owner in Southwest Florida. If anyone would like to get in touch with you, Jim, how can they do that? How can they reach out?
Phone call or text message is always best. So it's 239-977-5700. You can reach me anytime.
Anytime. And he means that. You can also find him online. You can search out his website there. Again, he's the owner of Southwest Florida. Again, Jim, thank you for being on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Nick. It's been a pleasure. Couldn't have done it without you.
It's been a pleasure. And, you know, we would love to continue to grow and share thought leaders in business and franchising. Clearly, this is a high performer here. We can only do that if the show grows. So please subscribe, like the video, but most importantly, add to the conversation. Drop a comment. Let us know what your thoughts are on what Jim shared today. And as always, level up.
Level up.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez show. Remember, it's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez show.